Tonight I'd like to speak to you on a topic that says born once, die twice, born twice, die once. I'll just give you that again so that you've got a handle on it. Born once, die twice, born twice, die once. We're all born once. Most will die at least once. Now, what do I mean by most will die at least once? There is a special group that is those that are saved Christians that are alive when the Lord Jesus comes at what we call his second coming. They won't actually see the first death, but there'll only be a few of those because so many have gone before and have passed on and passed over, whatever we want to say it is. But we've all got to die once. I'm just going to say that, and now I've given the proviso. We're all born in the flesh. The scripture says, born of water, in John 3:5. But not all are born of the Spirit, that is, rebirth, or born again, or born a second time. So we're all born of the flesh, we're all born of the water, as John said, but we're not all born of the Spirit. And so we need to check that out as we go. So Nicodemus, that we've just read about, or Pastor Alan read to us about, was ruler of the Jews. And he came to Jesus by night, and a lot of people have made a lot about the fact that he came by night, but he came by night. And Jesus said unto him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God or heaven to us. So except a man be born again, born a second time, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He can't go or be in heaven. So if you have a spiritual problem with that, you can understand what I'm trying to say. I looked up Nicodemus online, and this is one of the following comments that I found. And it says, whether John's narration or the words of Jesus, John 3:16, has become perhaps the most famous verse in the Bible. In one phrase comes the power of the gospel. But what we are to make of the man Nicodemus, who visited Jesus in the middle of the night and whose conversation sparked this verse. I'm glad he came, because if he hadn't have come, we might not have this passage to look at. What was the motivation of his coming? Why did he come? Well, John's account tells us that Nicodemus was a Pharisee of the Jewish ruling council, the Sanhedrin. However, Jerusalem and the nation of Israel were under Roman occupation, but had some local control over their matters, and Nicodemus was one of the leaders, and he was also described as a teacher of the Jewish faith. So this is a man of some importance. He's not just a bystander. He's a man that knows or should know what's going on. Because Jesus had cleansed the temple with a whip earlier in John 2:14-17, he made very few friends among the leaders of Jerusalem. You can look that up later if you like. Thus the visit of such an important official is certainly noteworthy. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. In John 3:3, which again was part of our reading, Jesus answered and said to him, of a truth, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you that unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In John 3:5, Jesus tells us this: I say unto you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Then he says again in John 3:7, do not marvel that I said unto you, ye must be born again. However, in John 6:47, which we didn't read, he said, I say unto you, he who believes in me has eternal life. To understand what it means to be born again, one must understand that there are two births described in the Bible. Two births described in the Bible. The first birth is the physical birth, when you were born into this world to your mother and father. In John 3:5, when it says one must be born of the water and of the Spirit, the water does not mean or have anything to do with baptism. It's a simply a physical birth. The second birth is the spiritual birth, which means to be born of God's Holy Spirit. So why does someone need to be born spiritually? And what is spiritual birth? Many people have heard this, but very few understand about the two births. Just as a side issue about the words born again, during one of the Billy Graham preaching tours in the 1970s, and that seems like a long, long time ago, but I was there, at least in Sydney, the Catholic Church was invited to participate as counsellors. So the idea is, if someone said they were Catholic, then they would be appointed a Catholic counsellor. The expression of being born again was overcome by the Catholic counsellors when they told those people coming forward for salvation that once you receive the Holy Communion, i.e. the body of Christ, then you're born again. Now, I know this. I know this change of definition to avoid the problem, because in our work Bible study group, we had a man who was born again. He was a Catholic, and he was part of the Catholic Church's counsellors for the Crusade. So we know that's how they were told to get around these words being born again. So what does it really mean to be born once, die twice, but to be born twice and to die once? It sounds so confusing to the unknowing, but it has a simple explanation. The Bible teaches that God created mankind in his image, in the form of body, soul, and spirit. Our body is the tabernacle. Now, what does that mean? It means the receptacle. It means the house, or to house, or to be the home for our soul and spirit, as detailed in 2 Corinthians 5:1-4. So our body, this thing that I have here, which is aging, is simply a housing for the soul and the spirit. Our physical body is just a shell casing, if you understand what I mean by that, to house our spirit in order for us to live on the earth and to recognize each other here. So to be clear, we have a mind to think, we have a heart to feel, and we have a will to decide. A mind to think, a heart to feel, and a will to decide. The soul is distinctively different from the spirit. Hebrews 4:12 speaks about this, saying, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So God's word can divide between soul and spirit, and it can divide between joints and marrow. That's an interesting thought. So breaking this down further, animals have a heart to feel, a mind to think, and a will to decide. But they do not have a spirit to discern spiritual things. So all the animals, they have a heart, they have a mind, and they have a will. But they do not have a spirit to discern spiritual matters. So God created man to be uniquely special, uniquely created above all the other species, so that we can have a relationship with him. It's the spirit that makes us totally different from animals, which is one of the biggest arguments for creation. Yesterday we had a lamb born, and it seems as though it had some problem feeding from its mother, and yesterday it died, and we brought it in and we tried to feed it, and it died in our arms, in our lounge room, and it just died. But there was no soul. There was no spirit to go to heaven or anywhere else. It just died. But us as humans, us as people, we can have a spirit that lives on. Man's spirit is dead in sin when we are born. Bible says we're born in sin. Being born void or without God. We are born without God in our lives, with an inherited sin nature from Adam. So the reason we need to be born spiritually is because we've never been spiritually born to begin with. When the Bible speaks and teaches about being born again, it means just that. We were born once physically in sin, so we need to be born again a second time, spiritually, in Jesus Christ, for eternal salvation. God created us, but he also gave us a free will to choose, to decide where we want to spend eternity. Now, most people probably aren't aware that they can choose where they want to spend eternity, whether they want to spend it with God in what we call heaven, or away from God. We have that choice. And therefore, to choose whether to die once or to die twice. Here's how you die once or twice. A short lesson about Adam and Eve's disobedience in the garden first. The garden was called the Garden of Eden. When they disobeyed God's commandment to eat of the fruit off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, as described in Genesis 2:17, God said that if you eat of the fruit of this tree, you will die. That's what he said to them. Now, you'll notice when they ate of the fruit, they didn't physically fall down dead. They didn't die straight away, but rather spiritually. They died spiritually because of the sin that they had committed. And death then entered into the human race, and the Bible says they hid themselves from the presence of God. So the minute, maybe it was a little bit longer than a minute, that they ate of the fruit, the minute they disobeyed God's rule or law or whatever you want to call it, the minute they disobeyed, sin came into the world and death came into the world, but they didn't die straight away. In fact, it was probably several hundred years later that they died, but they were separated from God. They hid from God. Why did they hide from God? Because they knew they'd sinned. So the Bible teaches us that from that moment up until now, mankind has been born spiritually dead. Now, for most church people, you might have to think about that. You were born spiritually dead. So, to be spiritually born means that God's Holy Spirit has to come and live in our heart. The Bible describes it as quickens us or makes us alive. That's in John 6:63. If you want to look that up, I'll read it to you anyway. It says that it is the Spirit that quickeneth or makes us alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So when a sinner believes on the Lord Jesus Christ as the Christ, then God the Father, God the Son, come into his heart or into their heart in the form of the Holy Spirit. John 14:23 says, the Holy Spirit is God within us. So the Holy Spirit physically enters into our body and we become born a second time. So if you are born only once, that is physically, bodily, and never turn and repent of your sins, never accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, then you will die twice. Once physically, in the bodily sense, and a second time, a spiritual, eternal death, spending eternity in the lake of fire called hell. In the book of Revelation, it speaks about the second death. In several places, one being in Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part of the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So we have the first resurrection and then we have the second death. And again in Revelation 21:7-8, it says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. However, if you're born twice, first in the physical bodily sense, and then again when you choose to turn from your sins, accepting the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, spiritually receiving him, then you will only die once. That's the physical bodily sense. Because spiritually, you're alive and will live eternally with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in heaven for eternity. How long? Forever. We have God's Spirit living in our bodies, but we are not God. The Godhead indwells every believer, everyone that places their trust for their salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ is a believer. Everyone that's received the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart by faith is a believer, and the Godhead dwells in that believer. The Holy Spirit of God guides us, comforts us, teaches us, rebukes us, chastises us, convicts us, encourages us, loves us, and much more. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God, that's the Bible, which we have here, to do these things. This is why it's critically important for every believer to live in, to hear, to read, to study, to memorize, and to meditate on their Bible, and why each individual must be sure that they're born again. This is only possible through the Holy Spirit of God, which makes us alive again, quickened, made alive, as the Bible says, by faith in Jesus Christ as our Saviour. We are saved by repenting of our sins or unbelief and believing the gospel that Jesus died, was buried, was raised up 3 days later, and is coming back for those who believe. When you do that, you will only die once, but live eternally with God forever. So what's the application to this message? What can we get from it? Well, when I was 4 years old, and that seems like almost an eternity ago, when I was 4 years old, my mother had a miscarriage. That's what I understand happened. And she, as a result, started attending church at the local Methodist church, which was one street away from our home. So I was sent to Sunday school at the age of four. And in retrospect, I'm very pleased that my mother took me or sent me to Sunday school when I was four. Because they were 12 years of some sort of teaching, at least of Bible content. I became a Sunday school teacher at the age of 16. But I wasn't challenged about salvation till I was 20. Now that doesn't seem right, does it? We had a local lay preacher come to our church for the evening service. His wife had just had a baby. I understand what that was like. It was pouring rain, absolutely pouring rain. He'd gone to the wrong church by mistake. In the Methodist church, you have four or five churches in a circuit, and the lay preachers would come and go to different churches at different times. And he went to one of the other four by mistake. By the time he realised, it was getting on. Time was really, we'd sung and we'd prayed and we'd done heaps of things and we were still waiting for the preacher to arrive. Now listen to this. This was the time before mobile phones. Yes, there was a time before mobile phones. There was a big time before mobile phones. So you couldn't ring up and say, oh, where are you? So when he arrived, he, for some reason, just put his notes aside and he said, turn to John 3:16. Now, I'm probably going to get a little emotional here, but that's fine. And among other things, he asked us to put our name in the verse. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved Peter that he gave his only begotten son, that if Peter should only believe, then Peter should not perish, but Peter would have everlasting life. That's a great exercise to do. And then I was sitting in the back row, as I usually sat in the back row, and he pointed his finger, I'm going to point at you, Linda, but don't worry, he pointed his finger right at me, and he said, if you've never received Jesus Christ into your life, you're not a Christian. If you've never received Jesus Christ into your life, you're not a Christian. The Friday before this, this was a Sunday, the Friday before this, one of the draftsmen where I worked in a drawing office asked me, was I a Christian? And I said, yes. Then he asked me how I knew I was a Christian. I couldn't answer him. I couldn't answer him with an answer that would satisfy me, never mind satisfy him. That night was the 16th of April 1967. Yes, you heard right. 1967. More than 54 years ago. That night I was born again. As I received the Lord Jesus Christ into my life. Robin was there and two other people were there and they came forward as well. So that night, four people received salvation. Robin, myself, and two others. What a blessing that night was. So I don't know your spiritual state. I don't know the spiritual state of every person listening tonight or whenever you listen to this message. But I do know that it's possible to be in a church for 16 years and not be challenged about the state of my salvation. And that's a dreadful thing. 16 years going to church, going to Sunday school, and I didn't know how someone was saved. It's not my family that is saved, therefore I am saved. And I think a lot of people think that. That because my family is saved, because my family's been going to church for eons of years, then I must be saved. It's not, I think I'm saved. I think I'm saved. I would have said that. I think I'm saved. I hope I'm saved. I would have said that too. I hope I'm saved. I must be saved. I've been attending church all my life. Attending church for 16 years. Not attending church, attending church and Sunday school for 16 years. And I didn't know that I needed to be born twice. Everybody will go to heaven anyway. God wouldn't send anybody to hell. Well, you think about that one. Everyone will go to heaven anyway, so why should I worry? God wouldn't send anyone to hell. No, God wouldn't send anyone to hell, but you can volunteer. You can reject the Lord Jesus Christ. You can reject God's remedy for your sin. And the only solution is, or the only event that can happen, is that you will go to hell. What a tragedy. Everybody thinks I'm saved, so it would be embarrassing to admit that I'm not sure. I can remember a young man coming to church one day, and in a prayer meeting he said, I got saved yesterday. And you could hear the people, What? And he said, I got saved yesterday. He was probably in his mid-30s. Been going to church most of his life. Came from a church family. And yet when crunch came, he wasn't sure. But he made sure that night. So there could be another knot or another knot or another knot. You can think of your own excuses as to why you're not saved or why you're embarrassed about me talking about salvation. But let me say this, and I know that this might this might be awkward, but if you can't place a time or an event that you invited the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, then you may not be saved. I'm one of those people that believes that salvation doesn't happen by accident. It needs to be a deliberate act of the word, of the will. So if you're not sure tonight, then make sure. Just make sure. If you're not sure or simply don't know, if you're a young person, talk to your parents. Talk to Pastor Mitchell. I'm sure tomorrow he'll be on the phone to you if you wanted to ring him. A close and trusted friend. If the Spirit of God is talking to you now and you're feeling very uncomfortable about your salvation, don't let tonight go without finalising it. Because if I hadn't have finalised my salvation 54 years ago, I would probably be still sitting in church, singing the hymns, and not knowing that I wasn't born twice. So make sure today that you're born twice and you will only need to die once. Think about that. Make sure today, tonight, that you're born twice, born of the water, born of the Spirit, that you've invited the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father into your life, that you've repented of your sins, and you will only die once. Thank you for listening to me.